we have to save £23.9 million next year to balance our budget. We have taken a look at every single area of the council spending. We simply cannot make that level of savings again by slimming down bureaucracy or back office savings. Of course, where we can do, that's what we're aiming to do. But unfortunately, this year and even more so into the future, some council services, frontline services will be hit.
You forewarned that would happen, and this appears to be the reality now.
Absolutely, and this year is 23.9 million. Our best guess at the moment, we won't know for certain until after the general election, but our best guess at the moment is by the end of another 5 years' time, we will have to have taken £196 million or so out of Cornwall Council's budget. Now, there is no way that we can look the same as an authority in 5 years' time, if that's the case. And it would be wrong to do it by salami slicing, because we'll end up with just no ability to do anything. So I'd rather have this conversation with the people of Cornwall to understand what they think we should be concentrating on, what services we should be preserving at all costs. But on the other hand, we will have to lose some services altogether. So that's the reason that I'm holding so many public meetings, talking to people to find out what services they feel are the most valued.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment, Simon. Let's look at some of this detail I mentioned a moment ago. For example, for the buses as well, this loss of £1 million. Isn't that going to decimate the rural network that's already been hit?
That's a saving that was planned by the previous administration as part of the medium-term financial strategy. It is something I'm concerned about. It is something we're looking to try and make sure that the effect is not drastic. It doesn't leave.
How can it not be anything but?
Well, we need to make sure that we don't leave communities cut off. We need to make sure that if a particular service disappears, that there's something there to replace it. It may not be the same. It may be less frequent, but we want to make sure that communities are not cut off, as I said.
People will be isolated, though, won't they?
Well, this is the challenge. This is why we've put these details out there, so that people can understand what we have to do, the scale of the challenge that faces us, so that we can ask for their opinions. We will always try to make sure that we preserve our communities in Cornwall, and that includes very rural and isolated ones. So I am concerned about this. It's something we inherited, but we're looking at it.
Indeed. Adult care and health, the cut there, £11.6 million. This is basically cutting back on all the prevention things, as far as I can see, and just providing what you have to do legally. Is that right?
It's not that far, no. Adult care and health is our second largest spending area within the council. It's 280 or so million pounds a year. So it's got to be looked at in that context. I think that there has been an attitude within the council and within Cornwall that we can't possibly even look at adult care and health in the past. And I think that's wrong, because that's allowed some inefficiencies to creep into it. What we want to do is preserve the end service. We want to make sure that people are getting the services they need.
With an £11.6 million cut? How can you do that?
Because we can look at whether we're actually delivering services in the right way, the most appropriate way. It's the end user who's important, not necessarily so much the path we take to make sure they get that service. There will be some people who will be hit by this, but we've also seen the moving over to the council of the public health remit. Now, that's brought new budget. It's also brought duplication. There are some things that we were doing as a council that the public health team were also doing, and it makes no sense to have that duplication. So there are efficiencies that can be made there without damaging any services. But don't get me wrong, there will be some hits on frontline services, and that's just absolutely essential in order to try to meet this challenge.
We've barely scraped the surface really on these proposals, but let me bring in Fiona Ferguson, the leader of the Conservative Opposition Group. What do you make of what's being suggested here?
Well, I mean, they are drastic cuts, as you say, James, in all areas, and I am concerned about many of them. And the bus cuts are something that does need to be kept under review, and adult social care. I mean, my main concern with this is that we've got to be straight with people. We campaigned in May on the basis that there were major, major challenges we were facing, and we didn't promise anything to anybody. The Liberal Democrats came in on the basis that there would be no cuts to services, and indeed there would be reduced parking charges, and then the next thing we find is this happens.
But would you have done anything differently? What could you have done differently?
Well, I think what we could have done differently is, and what we said we would do, is we would look at major structural change within the council, working together with other parts of the public sector.
But Alex Folkes says that's been looked at, that there is nowhere else to trim.
Well, I think he does need to look at that. I think he probably will look at that, but he's looking at it further down the line. If you're making savings on this sort of scale, you've got to look at this at the beginning. You've got to look at the whole. And in fact, what's happened with this budget is groups of councillors have been divided into, you know, little rooms looking at tiny bits of it. And we haven't had a look at it as a whole.
So do you question the strategy here?
There's only one meeting to do that, which hasn't even taken place yet.
So you question the strategy and the approach?
I do question the strategy. And I also question the fact, which I have consistently, that where you're talking about cuts on this scale, you shouldn't hold the staff harmless. I mean, it wouldn't happen in any other walk of life where effectively you were saying, you know, it's extremely expensive to provide services to you. We're an extremely expensive organisation, so tell you what, we'll give you less.
That's not good for morale, though, is it?
It isn't good for morale, but it's reality. And out there in Cornwall, people are finding that their cost of living is really, really squeezed. And they would expect people working for the council to acknowledge that and to participate in that, rather than to say, as is said in the, you know, in the budget papers, effectively we've got a 200 million pay bill, and guess what? It's growing at 3% a year.
This isn't just about cutting costs, it's also looking at ways to make money, one of which is this doubling of the Newquay Airport development fee. Where on earth has that come from?
It's because we need to look at making sure that Newquay Airport, which is currently receiving a 3 million or so subsidy each year, is coming as close to breaking even as possible.
Our listeners say the death knell is sounding if you do this for the airport.
I don't believe that's the case, but that's one of the reasons this is out to consultation. One piece of good news, hopefully for your listeners, is that as part of the changes, we'd abolish the drop-off fee at Newquay Airport, which has been massively unpopular, I think was a mistake. Listen, I'm going to have to come back to what something Fiona said, because we are looking to work with other public sector organisations, indeed with private sector organisations.
You want
as well.
More of them to work with you to take on the slack that you would be doing otherwise.
Well, we need to be able to save money through efficiencies wherever possible, and that means talking to these other organisations. That's already in place. We've also worked with the staff, and they've helped us to save a huge amount of money so far, and we're doing that again. What we aren't prepared to do, however, is promise an amount of savings that we aren't sure can be delivered. So we will be working with the staff. I hope that they can come up with some savings for us, and those will be implemented as soon as possible. But we can't promise that will happen by November, and I think it's irresponsible of Fiona to suggest it could do.
One final point is that there's this consultation process going on at the moment, which you began last month. There's a meeting, I think, tonight in Bude. Why wasn't this sort of information available at the start of that process? Why is this only dripped out now?
Well, Bude was last night, by the way.
Thank
Mabe
you, pardon.
Tonight, if anybody wants to come along. The reason was because there was some information that we needed to put to councillors first and information we needed to put to staff first. There was some confidential information in there, and we wanted to make sure we weren't setting hairs running on things that would have no chance of gaining support.
But so that makes a mockery of a public consultation. The people that turned up to those initial sessions weren't in possession of the detail that people attending them now are. What was the point of that?
Because we were discussing the challenges that were faced. I don't want people to necessarily...
But this is something concrete now for people to get their teeth into.
Indeed. We've never thought that we wanted people to become experts in local government finance in order to feel that they could have a say on this. We want to understand from people what they feel are the most important services for the people of Cornwall, what services they'd be prepared to see delivered in a different way, and what services they, regrettably, would be prepared to lose altogether.
I know those attendees have got this sort of information. They can really take this to task, can't they? They can say, so I come back to the point, why you didn't do this at the start. This is a regrettable step that you didn't have this at the start of your public
I disagree with you. All the consultations so far, I think, have been incredibly useful. It's early days yet, because I'm not sure that anybody in Bude last night had a chance to read these in detail. But everybody who went to a previous consultation was able to have their say on the overall picture. They've got the access to these detailed proposals now, and if they want to come back to us and say, well, now this is what I think in detail, we're welcome.
That
we're
sounds
welcome
like making more work for yourself, but we'll have to agree to disagree on that. Fiona Ferguson, in terms of your take on this whole process, is party politics featuring in this or not?
Well, I think Alex and I have taken different positions on this. I mean, that's perfectly fair. I think, you know, we are looking at what is best for Cornwall. What we promised was not any of the things that Alex promised. I do accept that there are difficult decisions, but I think it needs to be looked at a lot more strategically. And I do accept the point you're making that this detail should have been available earlier. And it looks like the budget's a done deal, because what came out yesterday said we've now had initial consultations with staff. So here you go. That's it.
What this all boils down to is there's not enough money. You need more money. Should there be a council tax rise? It's something you wanted to freeze for a number of years. Should a rise, a significant rise, I don't know, 5, 6%, OK, it would trigger your local referendum here. But isn't that really what is required? More money in the coffers. Both of you, how do you react to that?
Well, I would say certainly not. I don't think people in Cornwall can afford it. I think it is a good plan that one thing the government have done is that they have helped us to freeze council tax for the last three years. That is recognising that people have a significant effect, a significant adverse effect on their cost of living. That's what everybody's complaining about. And we have to make our money go further. And we certainly intend to do that. And I think if you were a self-employed in Cornwall and you came into the council and you said, goodness me, you know, I can help you save money here. There's lots of money that can be saved. They would be able to do it. And I think we need to we're not used to it in the council, but we need to get to grips with
Fiona
that.
Fiona Ferguson, thank you. Just very finally, briefly, your take on the a significant increase in council tax.
I think we need to balance things. We need to balance the need to provide a good level of services to the people who need them, particularly vulnerable people, against the needs of the whole of Cornwall, who are struggling with the economy at the moment. So I don't support a council tax freeze. I think that's unsustainable. I don't believe we would win a referendum. And that's why the budget we're proposing at the moment is a 1.97% rise. But I'm open to discussion on that. I think it's something that we need to have a conversation about.
Alex Foulkes, thank you very much. And also with us this morning, Fiona Ferguson, the leader of the Conservative opposition on Cornwall Council. Alex, of course, in charge of finance and resources.